First of all, you know, last week I was away on our little parish pilgrimage, and so I did pray for all of your intentions at the holy places. On my return, though, I had received an email from Father Mizel Roa Cardenas, who's the priest that we raised money for in Colombia so that he could have that eye surgery and remove a cancerous tumor. So he wrote, "Dear Father Saunders, finally, after much preparation, last Friday, October 21st, I had my cancer surgery for my left eye. I repeat my thanks to you and your whole parish community, because thanks to you, all this surgery was possible. Now I'm at home for 10 days recuperating. Also, thanks to you, I'll be ready for the celebration of my 30 years of priesthood. I ask for your prayers and blessing. Receive a strong hug full of fraternal affection from me, Father Mizel Roa Cardenas." So my brothers and sisters, we should be very grateful to Almighty God for his intercession, but also in a good sense to be rather proud of ourselves that we were able to send so much money down to Colombia so that this young priest, well, he's my age, young priest could have his surgery, and now will be able to continue to serve our Lord. All right, now for the main event. St. Paul says, "Strive to be worthy of your calling as a Christian. Bring to fulfillment the good work God has begun in you. Glorify the name of the Lord Jesus in your very life." St. Paul exhorts the Thessalonians, but in that living sense of sacred scripture, he is speaking to us here and now. In a paraphrase, echoing way, we heard these same words when we were baptized, when we were confirmed, and when I was ordained as a priest. Strive to be worthy of your calling as a Christian. Bring to fulfillment the good work that God has begun in you, and glorify the Lord Jesus in your life. Well, my brothers and sisters, you and I have to take this exhortation to heart, because in 10 days we go to elect a new president, as well as throughout our country, senators, representatives, many other civil officials. I think that our country is at a precipice. And the next election, this election, is going to determine the future of our country. Never before has our country found itself with an effete Congress that can't make a decision and has continued to grow a deficit to $21 trillion, which the young children here are somehow going to have to manage. Never before have we had a president who dictates by executive order. Never before have we had a Supreme Court that is an ideological or oligarchy that rewrites the Constitution. Never before have we seen such an election as this. You may recall a couple of weeks ago, I had put in the bulletin a letter from Archbishop Chaput of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to do so. If you don't have a copy, there are some copies on the table. But Archbishop Chaput, quoting one of his friends in the letter, said, quote, "We have a choice between a vulgar, boorish lout and a disrespecter of women with a serious impulse control problem, or a scheming robotic liar with a lifelong appetite for power and an entourage riddled with anti-Catholic bigots." What a choice. Yes, we still say, "God bless America." We still say on our currency and our coinage, "In God we trust." And we still make a pledge, "One nation under God." But frankly, my brothers and sisters, we've thrown God out the door and we've locked the door. Never before have we been in this situation. Frankly, though, we are reaping what we have sown. Why we're here now in this situation in our country, we are reaping what we have sown. Now, I'm almost 60 years old, but when I was a kid in the 1960s, whether in Catholic school or public school, and I was in both at times, we could say prayers, we could have a Christmas pageant, we could talk about the Christian heritage of this country, and that our founding fathers were dedicated Christians. No more. Last night I was at a parishioner's house for dinner, and one of the guests there said that a few years ago, when she took Christmas cookies or holiday cookies to Algonquian grade school, they had to sort through them and remove all the Christmas trees because they were offensive. That's where we're at. Think, no longer is life sacred for the most innocent, the unborn, or for the disabled, the elderly. No longer is marriage between a man and a woman. Go figure that one. We have decided to redefine marriage. No longer is it God made them male and female, but now we talk about this spectrum of things. We look at our entertainment and our athletics, and we don't find much wholesome good in any of it. If you don't believe that, just Google Madonna and see what she said recently about all of this and the promises she made. Frankly, we are reaping what we've sown. And when we replace God with some kind of a idol, be it ourselves, our self-focus, when we replace God's truth with ideology, we have the recipe for totalitarianism. Totalitarianism. This is why history is important. We are at that precipice whether we're going to continue to have the freedoms we enjoy, especially freedom of religion and freedom of speech, or sacrifice them. President Reagan, probably our last great president, said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day, we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States when men were free." Yes, our freedoms are at stake. Did any of us ever think the Little Sisters of the Poor would have to go to the Supreme Court to have a decision so that they could take care of the elderly poor, no matter what the religion was of the person, and still have a religious group? And yes, the Supreme Court ruled in a 4-4 decision because of the untimely death of Justice Scalia that the sisters could continue. But consider, the next president could appoint a justice, maybe 3 justices during the time of office, and that could be another Sotomayor or Bader Ginsburg, or could be a Kagan, and the Little Sisters of the Poor could be out of business. Consider, one candidate has promised that he will appoint justices that are pro-life, pro-marriage, and respect religious freedom. Justices like Justice Scalia, who do not want to rewrite the Constitution, but preserve the Constitution that has kept our country together. The other candidate has said she will support pro-abortion justices, pro-same-sex marriage justices, and if we look at the WikiLeaks emails, justices that will not support religious freedom or freedom of speech. Now, don't think it can't happen. In 1922, Oregon passed a law that mandated all children be educated in a public school, thereby closing all religious, all private schools. That case went to the Supreme Court in 1925, and the decision in Pierce versus the Society of Sisters, meaning the religious communities that brought the suit, decided that parents determine what kind of school their children go to. However, we've heard, especially in the past 8 years, our politicians, including our president, talk about not religious freedom or freedom of religion, but freedom of worship. Freedom of worship means you and I can be here for Mass. Freedom of religion means we can have a Catholic school and a Catholic hospital and a Catholic nursing home. When it simply becomes freedom of worship, close the schools, the nursing homes, the hospitals. It's happened in the past in other countries. It could well happen here, depending upon who might be sitting on that Supreme Court. Now, what about then freedom of speech? So here I can offer Mass, but I know my big mouth would get me in trouble. I know that maybe the new modern-day Gestapo sitting in the pews monitoring how I preach might say, Father Saunders, you now have committed hate speech. Goodbye, you're off to the gulag. Could it happen? Consider Canada. Father Alphonse Volk, V-A-L-K, is being investigated by the Canadian Human Rights Commission, which is one of these ideological oligarchies, for defending the Church's teaching on marriage during Canada's same-sex marriage debate. This has cost him thousands of dollars in legal fees, and he might be in prison. Sad. Bishop Fred Henry in Canada also has been brought before the commission for defending the sanctity of life and marriage. Bishop Henry said, quote, "The social climate right now is that we're into a new form of censorship and thought control, and the commissions are being used as thought police." Now, this doesn't include all the stories in our own country of bakers, photographers, reception hall owners who are being fined, even put out of business, facing criminal charges because they will not endorse a same-sex wedding. Well, if a couple wants that, go somewhere else. It's like if I want a ham sandwich, I don't go to a kosher deli and ask the good Orthodox Jew to make one for me. I respect his religious beliefs, but not anymore. When it deals with ideology, you will believe, you will fall in line, you will goose-step. Take it further. Many of you have kids who are in college now. Do you know that the University of Northern Colorado has outlawed on campus such phrases as, hey guys, and man-made? Princeton has banned the word man. These are now offensive. It's like George Orwell's 1984. The new speak that the ideologues want to impose on us. So we have to take this to heart. This is serious, especially when you consider the future of the Supreme Court in light of an effete Congress and who might be president. So what am I going to ask you to do? I'm going to beg you, pray. For the next 9 days, pray. I sincerely mean that. In the bulletin, you'll find a letter from Bishop Laverty, and on the other side, a novena prayer that was produced by Archbishop O'Boyle back in the 1950s. A very good prayer. Say the rosary. We need to pray for the conversion of our country. And that can happen. Just as little Zacchaeus converted when he was challenged and made reparation. Yes, that can happen in our country too. Secondly, fast. In the good book, it's always said, fasting and prayer, those sacrifices, will always conquer evil. When we look at the toughest times in the Old Testament, when things look so dire, fasting and prayer conquered evil and turned hearts back to God. Thirdly, pray for the conversion of so many of our Catholic politicians. At least they identify themselves as Catholic, but who say, oh, I'm so devout, but then undermine the teachings of the Church. They promote abortion, promote same-sex marriage, and other things. That undermines the authority of our Church. And the fact that bishops do nothing about it undermines the authority of our Church. So pray for their conversion, because their eternal souls are at stake. Eventually, we all face judgment from God. And lastly, inform yourself. Don't just buy into the 30-second commercials. Don't read what's in the Washington Compost or the contorted news network, CNN. No, that's the beauty of the internet. You can find the reality. Find what they're actually saying, what they're promising to do. So my brothers and sisters, we're at the precipice. And you and I are going to decide the future of our country. Yes, we aren't in a great situation, but we're reaping what we've sown. It's time to turn back to God and ask for God to redirect our country. But when you go to that voting booth and you come out of that voting booth, you have to be able to say that I'm bringing to fulfillment the good work that God has begun in me, that I am giving glory to the name of Jesus in my life. May God bless you.